Most of the time, when I look at a rhythm strip, I immediately know what the rhythm is likely to be. But what do you do when you don't know the answer, when you're not certain what the rhythm is at the time you are seeing the patient? How should you proceed? I thought it might be worthwhile to explore this issue in practical terms. First point, it's important to realize and accept that you will not always know the answer. No one always knows. Now, it's not a problem not to know, but it can be a problem if you won't acknowledge that you don't know. So the first point is to become comfortable acknowledging when you are not completely sure of the answer, when you don't know for certain what the rhythm is. That said, the beauty of routinely using a systematic approach to rhythm interpretation is that by assessing the P's, Q's, and 3 R's by the system I favor, that is, looking for P waves, determining if the QRS complex is wide or narrow, and assessing the 3 R's, which are the rate of the rhythm, regularity of the rhythm, and if P waves are present, whether these P waves are related, that is, conducting atrial impulses through to the ventricles. The beauty of the system is that even when you don't know a definite answer, having a systematic approach to rhythm interpretation allows you to limit the possibilities. For example, you may not know if a regular narrow complex tachycardia is atrial flutter or a reentry SVT rhythm, but using a systematic approach allows you to classify the rhythm as a regular SVT, with or without any atrial activity that you can see at whatever the rate that you calculate happens to be. Clinically, if your patient is hemodynamically stable, how much does it matter with respect to your initial clinical management whether a regular SVT at 150 or 180 per minute without clear sign of sinus P waves, how much does it matter if you don't know for certain what the rhythm is? The answer is that for practical purposes, it does not matter with respect to what you'll be doing first at the bedside. Key point. You will often be faced with the need to begin treatment before you know for certain what the rhythm is. And not only is it okay to begin treatment before you know for certain the etiology of the rhythm, this is often necessary and expected. Now, if you knew that this regular supraventricular rhythm at 150 per minute was likely to be sinus tachycardia, in which sinus P waves were hidden within the preceding T waves, then you might simply wait a few more minutes before trying an AV nodal blocking agent, because time is your friend when the rhythm is sinus tachycardia. As the patient's clinical condition improves, the heart rate will slow and sinus P waves will then usually emerge from those T waves and allow you to confirm the diagnosis of sinus tachycardia without having to treat the rhythm per se. So the next point is that you gotta be there. Whether a patient is or is not hemodynamically stable is a judgment call. I've seen patients be comfortable in a tachycardia despite a blood pressure of 80 systolic, while other patients are clearly unstable because despite a blood pressure that is well above the normal range, such patients are short of breath, having chest pain, or manifesting mental status changes. So you gotta be there, because the entire management plan changes if your patient in a tachycardia is not hemodynamically stable. In such cases, it no longer matters at the bedside if the wide complex tachycardia is VT or SVT with aberrant conduction or a pre-existing bundle branch block, because regardless, the treatment of choice for a patient who is hemodynamically unstable because of the tachycardia is immediate electricity. The same holds true for a narrow complex tachycardia, namely that if your patient is hemodynamically unstable because of the fast rate of an SVT rhythm, then once again the treatment of choice is immediate electricity. I'll emphasize that this does not happen very often, that an SVT rhythm requires immediate cardioversion. But it's important to appreciate that assessing hemodynamic stability is a clinical judgment, for which you gotta be there, because this clinical assessment can change quickly from moment to moment at the bedside. So when managing a patient with a hemodynamically stable cardiac rhythm that you don't know for certain what the etiology is, the key question then becomes, do I know enough about this rhythm to appropriately manage this patient? You often do not have to know what the specific rhythm is at the time you begin treatment. Just know enough to know how to get started. Let's look at some examples. Is the regular SVT rhythm in your hemodynamically stable patient a flutter or a tach? We first need to recognize that sometimes this distinction is impossible to make from the surface ECG, especially if an atypical type of atrial flutter is present. Realistically speaking, this uncertainty won't affect initial management at the bedside. Is the irregular SVT rhythm in your stable patient AFib or MAT? Well, by definition, since your patient is hemodynamically stable, you do have enough time to get a 12-lead ECG. And that should allow you to tell if there are true P waves in any of the 12 leads. If there aren't, then the irregularly irregular rhythm in front of you is AFib. If, on the other hand, this irregular supraventricular rhythm does have definite P waves, and you're uncertain if you are dealing with sinus tachycardia and multiple PACs versus MAT, realize that this distinction is academic, because it simply does not affect initial management. In either case, you'll be looking for the underlying medical condition, be this a COPD exacerbation or an acutely ill patient. And you'll be correcting electrolytes, hypoxemia, heart failure, and whatever else you can, regardless of whether you're dealing with multiple PACs or MAT. What about AV blocks and bradycardia? Does it matter if the AV block is complete or just high grade? Most of the time, it doesn't matter at the bedside. What does matter is what may have caused the problem: acute ischemia, infarction, rate-slowing medication. Can the cause of the bradycardia and AV block be fixed? What also matters is how symptomatic the patient is. How slow is the heart rate? How many P waves that should conduct fail to conduct? Which tells you about the severity of the AV block. In summary, it's okay not to be certain what the rhythm of your patient is. We won't always know the answer at the time that you need to begin treatment. But if we've assessed hemodynamic stability, gotten a good history with focus on potential precipitating factors, and limited diagnostic possibilities by working through the P's, Q's, and 3 R's of the rhythm, the chances are excellent that we'll know how to begin appropriate management of the patient, even when we are not yet certain of the specific rhythm diagnosis.